Thank you all for coming tonight. We'll ask God's blessing upon the little gospel meeting here tonight. Father, we thank thee tonight for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that he came into this world, that his hands had made. And we thank thee. We read that he formed all things by the breath of his mouth. But we think of how man and women and all the animals, that has formed them from the dust of the ground, and breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And we think of how man sinned against thee. One sin of disobedience by Adam and one by Eve, and the whole human race was condemned to die. But we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank thee that he came into this world. Truly, verily God, yet become truly human, lower than angels, to die in our stead. We thank thee he died for our sin. He died to bring us to thee. And that we thank thee for the story of the gospel and the word of God. And the word of God will never pass away. We can rest upon each word in the Bible. So we pray for thy help tonight, and the blessing in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe read in John's Gospel, please. The Gospel of John. Chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees. Now, if anybody that was at the Willows, you'll have to forgive me for speaking the same passage, but that's what I spoke at the Willows. The word of God applies to all. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now the Pharisees were a religious sect in the land of Israel 2,000 years ago, approximately. And Nicodemus was one of them. And he came to the Lord Jesus by night. We always thought maybe he was afraid if people would see him coming by daytime to see the Lord Jesus. They would probably make fun of him for coming to see the Lord Jesus in the daytime. Whatever reason, he came by night. And he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So Nicodemus was a very religious man. He likely had some of the Bible. They just had the Old Testament at that time, and he likely had some of the first five books of the Bible memorized. The rabbis, I think they used to memorize quite a bit of the first five books of the Bible. So he was very religious. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this was a very religious man, but the Lord Jesus didn't praise him up for his religion, for keeping the law. He said, Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If we were to read the first and likely most of you have read the first few chapters in the Bible, but Adam and Eve, how God made them, and they were made without sin, and they didn't know the difference between good and evil. God placed them in a garden where there was lots of nice things in that garden. None of us have ever been in a place like that garden. There was no thorns or thistles. There was no weeds growing in the garden. And there probably wasn't hornets or wasps to sting people if they got in the wrong place. There certainly was no mosquitoes. But God gave them one condition. Everything they needed was there for them in that garden. He gave them one condition. There's one tree, and it's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God told them, don't eat of that tree. You can eat of every other tree in the garden. They're all there for your good. But just one prohibition. When Adam and Eve are told that the will is about the children of Israel and how they get bit by snakes, and they were dying, but this Adam and Eve were in that garden, and there was a serpent there, and the serpent started talking to Eve and persuaded Eve that probably it wouldn't be too much harm in eating of the fruit of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Eve believed what the serpent said. He said a lie. The serpent said, he said, you won't surely die if you eat of that tree. But who's right, God or Satan? Satan was just lying to Eve, and they took of the fruit, and they fell. They died to God when they ate of that fruit that was forbidden, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They died to God. And that's why we need to have a second birth. The Lord Jesus had told to Nicodemus in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Even though Nicodemus was very religious, he couldn't get to heaven. He couldn't see the kingdom of God with his own religion. Nicodemus, in verse 4, saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, that's impossible. That's impossible for a person to enter into their mother's womb and be born again. Nicodemus, or Jesus answered, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So man's spiritual death when he died in the garden, died to God. So in order to see the kingdom of God, we have to be born a spiritual birth. It's not a physical birth. The physical birth is when we're born into this world. We're dead to God, and there's nothing we can do to change that. But if it says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that's simply our physical birth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, that's our spiritual birth. And that's what the Lord Jesus means when he says, Nicodemus, he must be born again. He says it again in verse 7. He repeats it. Marvel not, or don't be amazed. What I said unto you, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was thinking. And then down in verse 14, the Lord Jesus explains to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Maybe most of you know that story about the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt, and God delivered them. They were in slavery there, and God delivered them. And when they were going through the wilderness, before they got to their land that God had promised them, he was feeding them every day with manna, and he was giving them water when they needed water. He'd give them water to drink, feed them with manna. But they complained. They complained about the manna that God was giving them. They said, our soul loatheth this light bread. And they said, there's no bread or water in this wilderness. Well, God was giving them bread every day. He gave them free bread. All they had to do was go and gather it up. And I should say, 6 days a week, he gave them manna. They weren't supposed to gather any on Saturday, which is Sabbath. They were supposed to gather enough on Friday to do them till the first day of the week. But 6 days a week, he gave them free bread. And they complained about the bread God was giving them, about the not enough water in the wilderness. And so God sent fiery serpents among them. And the fiery serpents, we'd call them poisonous serpents today. The fiery serpents bit the people. And everyone that was bitten by the serpent, they would die. And it said, if we read the story, much people of Israel died. Everyone that was bitten off the serpent would die. That was a condemnation that was over their head. Just like when Adam and Eve sinned against God, the whole human race was bitten by Satan. He was the serpent. And every one of us would succumb to death. Only the Lord Jesus was the only one that was born without sin. He had no earthly father. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. He had no earthly father, and he was the only human being ever born in this world without sin. So he could come and die for us. So for them to have deliverance in the land of, in the wilderness, when the snakes were biting them, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, God told Moses to make a serpent that looked like the other serpents, but to make it out of brass and put it on a pole. And you know, it was a big camp of people there. There was probably 2 or 3 million people in that camp. So he'd have it on a long pole. Moses or somebody, maybe get somebody else to do it, walk around so everyone could see that serpent of brass on a pole. And God said, told the people, everyone that looks at the serpent of brass will live. All they had to do was look. No matter how close to death they were from the snake's bite, they just had to look. They didn't have to pay so much money to live. They didn't have to pray. They didn't have to say they were sorry for complaining. They just had to look at the serpent of brass. Because when they looked at that serpent, that showed that they were believing God, believing God's word. And everyone that looked at the serpent of brass lived. So the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus about that, remind him about that story, and Nicodemus would be very familiar with that. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that had to happen. It's going to be deliverance and life for the children of Israel. There's no other way they could live when the snakes bit them. He said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And because we have been bitten by sin, the whole human race, we're condemned to die. Verse 15, because it said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There's no other way we can have eternal life. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You could have salvation tonight if you're not saved. You could have it tonight through simply looking not at the serpent that was in Israel's time, not even thinking about the serpent, but thinking about the Lord Jesus. thinking about his death for you and what he endured on the cross. He paid for our sin. There's no way we could ever pay for one of our sins. No way we could pray enough or do enough penance. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So salvation is a gift, it's free. We can find it all out in John 3 and 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Thank you.